Night Blindness at the Douse Museum is a selection of works from, I guess, from my, over a couple of years, or many years actually, of my art practice. So there's a work called Missile Park, a large-scale installation, and Florian Fanny, which it's about my family, the matriarchs, and Coonabah and Point Pierce. So it is more broadly, I think, actually, about my connection to South Australia and the effects of colonisation on Aboriginal people. I think it's more, for me, it's more of a personal story, this exhibition, because of the family inclusion, and Missile Park is directly related to my birthplace of Woomera, which is an active military base in South Australia.
Missile Park.
Missile Park, I understand, quite a striking installation. This is just a scaled down military base represented here. What medium have you used to replicate
it? So I trained as a glassblower. So at the University of South Australia, graduated in 2005, I think. We've gone back. But since then, I've worked with other materials and. So with Missile Park, it's, I was commissioned to make a new work for the Australian Centre for Contemporary Art in 2021, and I really was keen to make a work that is about my birthplace and the involvement of Woomera in the nuclear tests that were undertaken by the British and Australian governments in the 1950s. And so I was looking, I have a really big interest in architecture and what it represents. So I looked at, the military buildings that not necessarily exist there anymore, but they're designed to be packed down fairly quickly and installed quickly, in a similar way that military would have done. And inside each of those sheds, there's three sheds that house 20 bush plums in each shed. They're scaled up plums in black, and for me they're about time bombs and holding of secrets, and that Aboriginal people are just waiting to tell it as well. So
what is the story of your birthplace and what happened there, particularly in the 1950s and 60s?
Yeah, so Woomera was created in the late 1940s as a rocket range, testing range. But it's included in the broader sort of Woomera prohibited area, which is the size of the United Kingdom. And it's still overseen by the Department of Defence. But it was utilised by the British with the permission of the Australian government to undertake nuclear testing. And so it was at a site called Maralinga, but prior to that it was Emu Field as well, which is not far. It's sort of like probably an hour north of Maralinga. So they tested a number of gadgets, as they would call it all. So there was a lot of desecration of country, radiation poisoning. And the Maralinga village actually is very similar to Woomera in that sense, that there's still, like, the old hospital's still there. One of the sheds that is part of Missile Park has a similar sort of architectural feel to that too, using corrugated iron and things like that. So there was a large number of deaths in terms of the Indigenous population, but we don't really know what that is.
Is it inhabitable now, or the radiation levels too high?
No, there was a supposed clean-up in the 1990s by the South Australian government. I call it supposed clean-up because it's still low-level radiation in the landscape. So you, it's not encouraged to live there. There is a caretaker at the village, Maralinga Village, but it's you can't cook in the ground or eat any of the plant life. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting because you talked about the bush plums. This is bush tucker, as it might be known, or native food. And what's the symbolism there? This is
I use the food to represent Aboriginal people, and so the plums feature quite a lot in my work, and I think and yams and bush bananas, and so they represent bodies or body parts. Often plums can represent any pregnancy and things like that too. So it's they're very body like as I see it, but they're superimposed, so they're not all life size. I create them in a way that is right for the story. Yeah.
Many of your works reference the nuclear testing that took place at Woomera, near where you grew up. Mm. What did elders tell you about the impact of this on them, on the community, the legacy of it?
I've grew up with the stories of the clouds coming. It would either be in that low-lying fog, fog-like substance, or like rainfall or dust clouds, depending on what kind of material they had in the bomb or depending on what kind of weather patterns were happening at the time. And so it would be blindness, skin rashes, people would die within days. Vomiting occurred quite soon after if they were exposed or were in close proximity of those tests. There's still ongoing health issues with people, like children being born lung disease or deformities. Particularly Woomera, my birthplace, there was a lot of children being born, either stillborn or with missing limbs and things like that. Yeah.
Those illnesses and deaths, I think, were initially dismissed by authorities. There was almost a gaslighting that went on about why people were getting sick here.
So especially with blindness, they were saying that there was like glaucoma in the area, or sort of and also an outbreak of measles. The stillborn birth rate was blamed on the weather being too hot, or if babies were born and then passed away days later or hours later, again it was down to the so-called weather. Yeah.
You've done a lot of research on the British government's testing of nuclear weapons at Maralinga and Emu Field. What's that been like to learn about and now to convey in your art?
It's been really interesting because a lot of people in Australia are still unaware of what happened during those tests, and so I've looked quite deeply into the archives, particularly in Birmingham in United Kingdom, and finding out more about what they knew they were doing. They knew how detrimental a nuclear bomb was going to be. But at the same time, I felt like they just didn't really care. And so it was, for me, particularly around those creating artworks about those the stories of the nuclear testing is, for me, calling out the perpetrators and holding them accountable for, yeah. Because for 60 years, it was kept secret within Australia, and more people are talking about it now, which is great.
In terms of the medium you use, tell us a little of the process of glass blowing, of literally breathing life, I guess, into the art you create.
Right, yeah. So it's glass blowing is a heavy duty material, very mesmerizing, very luscious material, as I would call it. It's quite physically demanding. And you either love it or you hate it. It's kind of like you have to love something that will potentially burn you. But at the same time, it's I find glass a beautiful storyteller, particularly because I can breathe life into these objects or these pieces that represent my people. So it's about creating an extension of myself, and I'm very close to my work, I think.
Must be a very deep connection. It's one thing, I guess, to have brush on palette or hands on a sculpture, but it's like a continuous connection as something is literally shaped.
It's a great way to describe it. And because I create these pieces because of the love that I have for my ancestors and the love that I have for my people, not just within my close family networks, but my friends and my peers within the art world. And so it's about creating something that, like they say, glass is really fragile, but it has a lot of strength in it as well, and such like resilience and beauty, and that it's something that I hope would be around for many years, and as long as people get to see it.
Ioannis Ghes, the artist, and her work Night Blindness, in response to the nuclear tests that happened where she was born, near where she was born, and to her people back in the 50s and 60s. Night Blindness is at Lower Hutt's Douse Art Gallery through until March.